your Bibles if you have them and go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Hearken unto the words of God. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever, that's anybody, that's you, that's me, that's anybody, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now I'm going to speak to you from the Word of God, the King James Bible. And if you don't believe what's being said from the King James Bible, that doesn't matter. It will never change the truth of the words of the King James Bible. People think wrongly that if they just simply don't believe what's being said, it's going to get them out of judgment. And nothing is further from the truth. If you don't believe the words of the King James Bible that's being preached to you right now, there is no hope for you. None. Zero. You may as well just eat, drink, and be merry. And at the end of your life, when you die, it's going to be too late. Because you will have wished, and that's all you could have done, is wished that you would have listened and hearkened unto the words of this great book. The last verse of Revelation chapter 20, verse 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is not hard to understand. That verse may scare you, and if it does, good, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need to understand the predicament that you are in if you don't understand salvation today in the dispensation of the grace of God. Okay, go with me to Romans chapter 1. That passage there in Hebrews was, in Revelation was simply to get your attention of the seriousness of what we're doing here and what these lessons are going to be about. I'm going to simply, I think it's going to be two recordings, but this one is definitely going to start with the evil tidings. And the gospel today is found in the book of Romans in the King James Bible. Get it yourself. Get a Bible yourself and read what's written there because it's your soul. Romans chapter 1, we're going to start here with the Apostle Paul saying in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Paul's been dead a long time. But yet the epistles he wrote and the scriptures he wrote are still with us. And I too am ready to preach the gospel unto you. Many people have come to our website, thousands in fact, and have listened to lessons. Well, this is the most important one you can listen to because it has to do with your soul and the salvation of your soul. You first have to understand justification in the eyes of God. Because as a sinner who is not justified in the eyes of God, upon your death, and the book is clear, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, the book is clear that you will die. Now we have to agree with that. You're going to die, and when you do die, there's going to be judgment. The Apostle Paul writes in verse 15, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This gospel message found in Romans is indeed the power of God unto salvation. Salvation from what? Hell, fire, then the great white throne judgment of what we just read about, where if your name's not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. And then, of course, ultimately, the lake of fire. Salvation from that. And this gospel, these glad tidings of good things that we will get to, is indeed the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You have to believe what's being taught. And it'll be very simple for you. For therein, Paul goes on in verse 17, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, Paul starts before he can give you the glad tidings of good things, which is the gospel. He's going to talk to you about some evil tidings and things you have to understand regarding your souls. If you have committed sin, which you have, you are then a sinner, and your soul is in danger. Verse 18, Paul starts off, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. This wrath of God is not something to dismiss. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 20 if you have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, just listen. The wrath of God is summed up in one simple verse in verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's serious. Being cast into the lake of fire, nothing is more serious than that. Because it will be forever and ever. You will never get out. You will burn there forever in conscious torment. Conscious torment. Never will you be just, you might say, snuffed out. You will be there forever. And that is as serious as it gets. The lake of fire. Go back with me to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So we're going to start here now with some evil tidings. You have to believe these first, or there'll be no reason for you to get saved. You will never get saved. Until you understand first that you're lost and you have to get saved from something. Okay? It is so bad. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Now let's go down this checklist of what you just think about God. That's where we're going to start at. Most likely, your thinking regarding God isn't matching the God of the Bible. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. Keep reading. What things? For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. There's some invisible things of God's wonderful, magnificent, infinite personality, but it has to do with his justice. These things are not good for you. And there's three things you know about God. Keep reading, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You know, God is the creator, and from the things that are made, you know something about him. You know he has eternal power over you, and he has Godhead authority over you. That is as serious as it gets. Now, you may not think God has eternal power over you. And you may not think that God has Godhead authority over you as God. But guess what? He holds your breath in his hands. Any day, you could die. So how powerful are you? He's not going to die. You are going to die. His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So you can't say you never heard about God, and you know him from the creation. Because that, when they knew God, the Bible says, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. You see, you're not thankful that God Almighty allows you to exist on his earth. You transgress his laws all the time. And you walk every day sinning and breaking his commandments, and you're not even thankful that he just doesn't take you out. You're an enemy of the God of the Bible. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's right. When you start thinking about God based on what you hear from people in the books of men, you develop inside of your mind a foolish understanding in your foolish heart and your imaginations, because your understanding and ideas of God does not match the scriptures. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Notice as reason man makes all these images. I was raised Roman Catholic, unfortunately, and as I went into that Roman Catholic church, I would see all these images all over the place. And you know why people make images? Because when you make it, it's not God. You control it, and that image doesn't speak to you the words of Scripture. That image doesn't condemn you. And these images are first made to corruptible man. But watch this, that's not enough. And to birds, then they start worshiping birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You see how it just keeps spiraling down. Man, birds, beasts, and bugs. Wherefore? And you may think, well, God is always going to be for me, and He's always going to look out for me, and He's going to pursue me. Listen to the Word of God. Wherefore, God also gave them up. Go ahead. You want to sin in the worship of images? Go right ahead. To uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, the design of their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. That's what you do with creation. You look at creation, and all of creation is telling you that there is a creator. But you take that truth, and you change it into a lie. And worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And the creature you wind up serving, whether you know it or not, is your spiritual father, Satan. That's who the creature is in the passage, and that's who you wind up serving, your father. If you'd look over with me in John chapter 8, if you have a Bible, John chapter 8, we're going to see that indeed people can have a spiritual father called Satan. The Lord Jesus Christ was preaching to a bunch of unbelieving Jews, and watch what He says to them in John chapter 8. We're going to start right around in verse 42, John 8, 42. Go there. Jesus said unto them, now watch this. This is amazing. John 8, 42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Now watch this question the Lord asked of a bunch of unbelievers. Why do you not understand my speech? See, many times people tell me, I can't understand the King James Bible. Well, Christ asked this question. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. And look at the answer. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Now look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. That's why you don't understand the King James Bible. Because you don't belong to God Almighty. You belong to your father, Satan, the devil. Go back with me to Romans chapter 1. That's how bad that is. And that's how serious this is. All right, Romans chapter 1. I'll tell you. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. Watch what they are. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Women with women, you are changing the natural use into that which is against nature. I don't care what you think about it or your opinion or what you think you have your rights are. You can freely choose to do anything you want, but know this, that you're changing the natural use into that which is against nature. It's a vile affection for a woman to be attracted to another woman. Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly. Men with men is not an alternative lifestyle. It is not gay. And the Bible calls it a sodomite, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. You wonder why you have received in yourselves some things that start to attack your immune system. That's because you reap what you sow. It is not natural for a man to be with a man, and you'll pay the price. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, this list of sins and this reprobate mind that you have, you're not interested in the God of the Bible. You're not interested in scriptures. If you're not, just turn it off, but just know this, never forget, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's going to be you. That's going to be you. Listen to this list of sins and see if you've ever done one. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. You see, ignorance is not a defense. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. If you have ever done one sin on the list I just read, you are guilty. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, the things I just read to you, are worthy of death. Death. Now, the Bible talks about death in two ways. First, in Hebrews chapter 9, is the first death. Physically, that's why everybody's going to die. Hebrews chapter 9, if you have a Bible, go there to verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. That's why everybody dies physically. It's because you've sinned. But back there in Revelation, that book we started with, where people don't like it, let me read you something about the second death. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, all of them. If you've ever told one lie, you're a liar. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's not hard to understand, is it? I'm going to read it again. All liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So you're going to die physically, and then you're going to die that second death, the lake of fire. But before you get to that lake of fire, you're going to go to a judgment. Back in Romans chapter 1, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You like to sin with others, don't you? Romans chapter 2 doesn't get any better for you. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. You see, you start judging others. You say, well, I'll bet you've lied. I'll bet you this or that. I'll bet you... No kidding. No kidding. I am no better than you. I deserve hell and the lake of fire probably more than most of you. But I understand justification and what you have to do to be forgiven. So I'm just trying to preach it to you so you get forgiven. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Now watch out, God. You know that great white throne judgment we've read about? How you're going to the great white throne? We're going to start to explain unto you the details of the great white throne judgment and how it's going to function. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. Truth. Not lies. Truth. According to truth against them which commit such things. So when you stand before God and the books are opened, it's going to be according to truth. God knows everything you ever thought, said, or did. He knows it, and he has it perfectly recorded. And when you stand before him, it's going to be according to truth against them which commit such things. You're not going to be able to get out of it by lying or trying to snake your way through. Verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, do you think this right about now? I'm going to escape this somehow. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? How are you going to escape? All the billions of dollars in the world will never ever stop death from coming and knocking at your door. I don't care how rich you may be or poor you may be. You're never going to escape the judgment of God, because that one thing that everybody agrees on the earth is that death is going to come. And when it comes, if you don't understand salvation as you're dying, you can forget it. You can forget it. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? You're never going to escape. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You see, God's goodness, that you're still sinning on this earth and he's yet not sentencing you and executing judgment upon you. He allows you to live in under the doctrines of grace. You just simply continue on, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Do you know God commands everyone today to repent? Right up here. That means to change your mind. That's what the word means, to change your mind. Your thinking is wrong. Your thinking is so wrong, it's going to wind you up in hellfire. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, a heart that will not change, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So God's judgment is going to be righteous, and it's going to be revealed. And all you're doing, every day you live on the earth, not being justified in the eyes of God, refusing to hear the truth of the scriptures, you're simply treasuring up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath. Your debt keeps growing bigger and bigger, and you're going to pay. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. You better believe it. Now watch how God, now when you die, you may say, well, I think I'm pretty good. I don't think God should put me in hell. Well, here's the standard. To them who by patient continuance, if you patiently continue in well-doing, this is your whole life, seek for glory and honor and immortality, God will give you eternal life. So if you can demonstrate at the great white throne judgment that your entire life was one patient continuance in well-doing, not evil-doing, well-doing, the whole time you were seeking for glory and honor and immortality, God will grant you eternal life. He says it another way in verse 10, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, then also to the Gentile. If you can show that your whole life, all you did was good, you're okay. You don't need a Savior because you're not a sinner. But unto them that are contentious, you want to argue with this great book? This book that was here before you and that will be here after you. The Word of God will stand forever. But unto them that are contentious, you want to contend with the Word of God and do not obey the truth? You don't want to obey the truth. You don't want to recognize the fact that you are indeed a sinner, but obey unrighteousness. You want to keep listening to sin? You're going to get four things: indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. That's right. Four things: indignation, wrath, tribulation, and anguish. You are going to face God Almighty, who is going to be filled with indignation. He will be burning with his anger because you have transgressed his laws, you have offended his holiness, and his justice will demand payment. You will then experience his wrath when you hit hellfire, then the great white throne, and then the lake of fire. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man. That's what's going to hit your soul. Tribulation and anguish, the highest form of pain. That's what it is. And that's what it means. And the Bible says exactly what it means. And you can say, I don't believe that. Who cares? It's still going to happen. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. So if your whole life you work good, you're fine. You're okay. You don't need a Savior. For as many as have sinned without law. See, what about the people who have never heard of the Jesus or read the Bible? Well, here you go. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Have you done the law? Have you done the law all the time and have never broken it? Perfect. You're fine then. Don't worry about it. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, you see us Gentiles, and we were not Jews, we never had the written law of Moses till now. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. You know deep down in your heart, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. You know deep down in your heart, you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't commit adultery, you shouldn't steal, and you shouldn't kill. Okay? You know these things. Which, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Right up here it's written, their conscience also bearing witness. How many times has your conscience said you're guilty? You know it has. You know it has. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts. This is what you do. The meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. You see, your conscience is either going to excuse you or accuse you. But many times, it's excused you. In the day, listen diligently, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul says. The Apostle Paul's gospel is the one that he's going to judge the secrets of men. All these little secrets you have, all these little sins you've done, which you think are little, that you thought you got away with, you're going to be judged by. Now, that's how it goes for most of the world, the nations of the world. What about the Jew? He's in double trouble. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Listen to me, Mr. Jew. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? Sounds like most of the preachers today. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you Jews, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. A Jew would understand what that's talking about. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature to fulfill the law, judge thee, you Jews, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? You know, the Jews are really screwed up. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, just because you say I'm a Jew. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So it still goes on condemning the Jews. Chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. The Jews' chief advantage in time past, he had the Bible, where the Gentiles and the nations of the world didn't. But we all do now, because the nation of Israel has fallen and their program has diminished away to nothing. God will finish it in the tribulation, but right now, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. There is no favored nation status today. For what if some did not believe, these Jews? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. And that's true for Jews and Gentiles, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. God is going to be judged by some of these Jews at the great white throne. They're going to sit there and try and pass judgment on God. Watch it. But if our unrighteousness, this is a Jew talking at the great white throne future, but if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. That's the answer to the Jew at the great white throne. Now, God's going to sum up all these evil tidings, starting in verse 9 to the end of verse 20. Listen diligently, because he brings the whole world into play now, Jew and Gentile. What then? Are we better than they? Are we Jews better than those Gentiles? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. The entire world, Jew and Gentile, the nations of the world, including the nation of Israel, are under sin. That's the problem. As it is written. Now, verse 10 to 20 is the conclusion of the evil tidings. Then God's going to show you what you must do to be justified. But when he concludes these evil tidings, mark it down. This is God Almighty talking in this book. You can just poo-poo it away and not believe it any way you want, but it's going to come true. These words are true. And who are you, oh man, to argue against the Bible? Listen to the Word of God. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, that includes you and everybody you know or ever heard of. Not one. No one's righteous in the eyes of a holy God. There is none that understandeth. You see, you don't have the foggiest idea of what's going to happen to you when you die. Because if you believe this, you'd be screaming, what must I do to be saved? You don't understand the peril you're in. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You're not seeking after God. No, you're not. Oh, yeah, I tried to find truth and go to church. Oh, hogwash. You just wanted to get rid of your guilt. You're not seeking after the God of the Bible. No, you're not. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. You see, there's a straight and narrow way. A straight and narrow way that leads unto life. You're not on it. No. You're on the broad way that leadeth to destruction. They are all gone out of the way. They are together, both Jews and Gentiles, become unprofitable. There's no profit in you. Don't think that you're so special. There's no profit in you. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. I don't care who you tell me has done good. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. You may be thinking, well, I'll just cry out to God and ask for forgiveness. Watch what, how God describes your mouth. Their throat is an open sepulcher. It's filled with dead men's bones. It's a stench in the nostrils, the holy nostrils of God my Father. Don't you be sitting there thinking I can just pray. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's what you do. Your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. You don't know peace. This bothers you, these things I've said. And you know what? If you don't like me at all because of the things I'm saying, all I'm doing is preaching what's written here. So in reality, you're hating the Bible because I'm just delivering it. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That is your problem. I say again, that is your problem. There's no fear of God before your eyes, is there? Nope, you don't fear him. Because if you feared him, like Jesus Christ commanded you to fear God, because he has the power not only to kill you, but to cast you into hell, you should fear him. But you don't. So who's the dummy here? Huh? Now watch how these evil tidings end. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. That's you. You're under the law. That every mouth may be stopped. God doesn't want you praying and asking for forgiveness in this age, in the dispensation of grace. He wants your guilty mouth stopped. Don't be sitting there asking God to forgive you. Shut your mouths. He's not interested in anything you have to say to him. God is interested in what your response is to what he has to say to you. So shut your mouth, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. You're guilty. Not innocent, guilty. There's no mistrial. The verdict is in. It is in right now in the land of the living as you're alive. You are guilty and shut your mouth. That's it. You don't have to believe it, but it's still true. This book is truth. Okay? It is absolute truth. You're guilty. I read again. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's the word of God. So then you may think, okay, well, I'll shut my mouth. I am guilty. I'll just try to do good deeds. No, because look at the next verse. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You can't do enough good deeds to get rid of your guilty crimes. That's like a bank robber saying, you know what, I've robbed 50 banks. I'm going to stop doing it. And I'm going to work at a bank as a teller. Doesn't erase the 50 bank robberies he did. You're guilty. Agree with the Bible. Believe the evil tidings. Be guilty. Shut your mouth. And the problem in verse 20 is how it ends. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now you know. The Bible says you've sinned. You know you've sinned. Tell the truth. Be honest. Shut your mouth. You're guilty. There is nothing you can do. You are guilty. You are condemned. You're going to hell. But that's not where the Bible ends. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. God wants to give you his righteousness. He wants to swap out your lifetime of sin. He wants to save you from hell. He wants to forgive all of your sins. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Watch this great gospel message God now has for you, O guilty sinner. Being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, God will justify you right now freely. That means he'll give you his righteousness. He'll take away your complete lifetime of sin and give you his righteousness. By his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ went to Calvary and bought and paid for all of your sins. And this forgiveness of sins, this redemption is offered in his Son. God's Son is where redemption is found, forgiveness of sins. Verse 25 says, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God, one time in human history, that's why it's in the past tense in verse 25, whom God hath set forth, he has set forth the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross at Calvary about 2,000 years ago to be a propitiation. It simply means he was made sin for you. That's all the word means. Through faith in his blood. God believes the blood of Jesus Christ when he died at Calvary's cross paid for all of your sins. That's a wonderful gospel glad tidings message. So because God believes that, he wants you to believe that. You see, a wise person believes what God believes. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for my sins. Verse 26 then says, well, what do you have to do to be saved then? Well, you can't pray. Remember he told you, your mouth, stop your mouth. You see, you're guilty. These are crimes. You can't ask to get out of a crime. But Jesus Christ paid the price for you. His blood was shed for you. So what must you do to be justified in the eyes of God and to be saved from hell? Verse 26 is so simple. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just. God was just first. He dealt with your sins. And watch this. And the justifier of him, that's you, which believeth in Jesus. I say again, he's the justifier of him, that's you, which believeth in Jesus. There's your answer. You don't open your mouth. You're going to have to trust in someone, fully persuaded, no doubt, to save you from hell. You're going to have to trust in someone to have all of your sins forgiven. It's Jesus Christ. He died for you at Calvary. So right now where you're sitting, make the decision in your mind, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ. I'm going to believe in him, having faith in his blood. That's why the Bible goes on, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. I know this. The Bible works when you believe it. There's one person only that God says you are to trust in to save you from hell. There's only one person you can trust in to have all of your sins forgiven. You're guilty. And that is Jesus. Have faith in his blood like God does. God believes the blood paid for your sins. You do that too. And then take all your faith, everything you have, and just believe in Jesus. Now, if you've done that, let's make sure that you believed correctly. Talking about Abraham in the next chapter of Romans chapter 4. It describes him. He was an old man and God told him he was going to have a child. And watch this, how it's described. Talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope. You do the same against hope. Just believe in hope, would you? That he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And look at this. And be not weak in faith. Don't be weak in faith like some little wimp. I don't know if I should do this. Believe in Jesus. Be not weak in faith. Okay? Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. God promised to justify you when you believed in Jesus, having faith in his blood. Believe God. Don't stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Be strong in faith. Just everything you have, just believe in Jesus. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, what God had promised, he, God, was able also to perform. You have to be fully persuaded. No doubt. That is when salvation and righteousness comes. God will impute righteousness unto you when you are fully persuaded, and therefore is imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake, that's Abraham's alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So you have a decision to make. Who are you going to trust in to save you? The only answer is Jesus. That's it. But you have to believe the right gospel about Jesus Christ, and that's the one I just preached to you. The evil tidings are evil, and they're bad. They're scary. If you want to avoid all those evil tidings, don't contend with the Bible. Don't argue. Just simply believe in Jesus after you believe in his blood. See, you believe the blood first, the message about Christ. That's the message. And that message about Christ at Calvary should cause you, without a doubt, to be fully persuaded and put all your faith in Jesus as your Savior. Okay.